Author Wally Lamb is one of our favorite guests. One of the pleasures of the new year will be his new novel, We Are the Water. His books are often sprawling and they deal with difficult subjects. His 2008 bestseller, The Hour I First Believed, had at its center Columbine, resonating more than ever this year. But 3 years ago, Wally Lamb produced something entirely different and perfect for this season, evoking former radio great Gene Shepherd's wonderful Christmas tales. At the end of Wally's book, a school Christmas pageant gone hilariously wrong at St. Aloysius Gonzaga Parochial School in 1964.
At first, the audience was stunned to silence as it stared upon what, I'm guessing, was the most bizarre nativity they'd ever seen. For there before them, below the electrified star of Bethlehem, was a baby Jesus with shrunken feet, a bent-at-the-waist Joseph, and not one, but two Marys, one of whom seemed to be wearing a goatee.
That baby Jesus is half fifth grader, but those feet, they belong to a baby doll, and Joseph? Let's just say he's bent over because of a problem south of his waist. The title of Wally Lamb's book is Wishin' and Hopin' a Christmas Story, an homage to the great Dusty Springfield, who's on the jukebox soundtrack that runs through the printed pages. The cast of characters include Annette Funicello, yes, the original Mouseketeer, also stern Catholic school teachers, and of course the storyteller, Felix Funicello, the littlest fifth grader who looks like Dondi, the Italian war orphan in the comics. As everyone did back then, Felix has a crush on his third cousin, Annette. She's a famous movie star. Her poster hangs above his father's friolator in the diner Dad runs at the local bus stop. We spoke with Wally Lamb about all of this just before Christmas 2009.
Hey, Robin.
Good to be here. What fun. Was this a way to sort of mentally floss away the tough subject matter from your last book?
Yeah, you know, The Hour I First Believed took me about 10 years to write. And then when I finished it, I was off and running on a 26-city book tour. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the toughest cities was a suburb of Denver, mm-hmm. Where a lot of the Columbine people had been. And I even met one of the fathers of the killers. So, yeah, I needed to sort of remind myself through my work that as hard as life can be, it can also be funny and the sun can shine as well.
Right. And it's not as if 1964 is an all sunshine year. It was the year after so many assassinations in this country.
That's right. And then the civil rights battle was being waged and Vietnam was just about brewing
right.
as well.
So. But still, we're with a fifth grader who doesn't yet grasp so many things. And I'm just wondering, is this book also a way to maybe rewrite that year? I couldn't help but notice the dedication reads, "For Chris, a happier 1964.
Yeah. Chris is my wife, Christine. That was the year that her father died. He was only in his 30s, and he left five children. My wife was the oldest and four younger brothers. And that had come right on the heels of President Kennedy's assassination. So, yeah, I wanted to make her laugh about the year 1964 as well.
Well, and you did that to us. We laughed quite a bit. I thought it was at first a memoir, but you say you came up with this main character, Felix Funicello. Poor Felix, the 10-year-old, first. So how did you come up with him? He's not you.
Maybe if you can quantify this kind of thing, I think he's about maybe 50% me. He's an Italian-American. His parents are working class. He has two older sisters that he loves to bother.
Is that
so
you?
So that's me.
Yeah.
But Felix is a little bit more impish than I ever was. And he started because of a coincidence. The editor of HarperCollins called up and said, "Hey, you know, Wally, why don't you try writing a Christmas book?" And my immediate reaction was, "Nah, that's too corny. I'm not going to do that." And then later on that same day, a friend of mine said, "You know, you write these brooding, dark novels, and they're not you. Why don't you try a Christmas book?" And again, I rejected the idea. But then shortly after that, I was cleaning my desk, and I keep a file of interesting character names. And the name Felix popped out on an index card. And I just started playing a word game, alliteration. And I don't know why Annette Funicello popped into my mind, but when I fused...
Well, maybe because you were once a teenage boy.
That could be it.
So she became the distant cousin of Felix.
Right, third cousin. And the Funicello family on the East Coast is very excited because Annette on the West Coast is quite famous. And at this point, she's moved beyond the Mouseketeer years, and she's starring in all those sort of cheesy beach party movies with Frankie Avalon.
Now, Dee Dee, calm
I
down
have just one question. Did you kiss him because he's lovable or because he's the only man on the beach?
Oh, no, don't quit now, Dee Dee. I think you're ahead.
Okay, how's this for a closer?
So I fused the name Felix with the surname Funicello, and bam, I was off to the races.
But now, had you gone to Catholic school?
I did not. A lot of people are sort of surprised when I say that, but I was raised a Catholic, and I went to catechism class every Wednesday. So I had a once-a-week taste of the nuns at St. Patrick's School.
Well, where did you get the other things that people tell me are, you know, absolutely spot on, you know, the nuns on the verge of a nervous breakdown? And
well, you know where that stuff comes from is whenever you mention parochial school, people who went roll out the stories nonstop, and a lot of them are just hilarious. Some of them are a little horrifying as well. But yeah, I find that people want to talk about their experiences and remember things.
Well, in fact, you're in a writer's group, and your writer's group met regularly at a luncheonette where you took some of the information there to shape Felix Funicello's family luncheonette, and you talked there to people who were in Catholic school. What are some of the little details they gave you?
Oh, gosh. Things like the kids used to be ranked academically and then seated accordingly. So the smart kids sat up in the orchestra seats, if you will. And, you know, the dumber you were, the further back you sat. And so that, you know, the kids who had stayed back a couple of times, they were back by the clanging radiators at the, in the windows.
Right. Other things. Because it's such a part of the book, the Catholic school.
Well, something that's in the book, there is a sort of a real spicy new student who comes in, Zenya Kabakova, who is a transfer from, of all places, the Soviet Union. And when she's caught kissing one of Felix's friends, Lonnie, the nuns have a special meeting out on the fire escape. And they are told that if girls provide the occasion for sin of a boy, then they're probably going to go to hell. And that's a story that I heard.
Also, she has this wonderful accent, having just come from Russia. Give us a taste of her her accent.
At one point, the substitute nun, who everybody is very scared of, Zenya, a perfectly legal act, is to get up out of her chair and go to the pencil sharpener. But, of course, the substitute is having none of it. And so she says, "Young lady, where are you going?" And she says, "I'm going to pencil sharpener. My pencil point is dull."
Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of his charm.
Wally Lamb, his book is Wishing and Hoping, A Christmas Story. More in 1 minute here and now.
So if you're looking to find love, you can share. All you gotta do is hold him and kiss him and love him and show him that you care.
Welcome back to our Christmas program. We hope you're enjoying the day and our conversation with author Wally Lamb. His books are usually huge and sprawling, dealing with tough subjects. But in 2009, he took a break from the difficult and produced the breezy novel Wishin' and Hopin', A Christmas Story. It's set in 1964. It features a parochial school Christmas pageant where everything that can go wrong does. The main character, 10-year-old fifth grader Felix Funicello, yes, related to Annette, the former musketeer. More on her in a moment, by the way. Well, she may be a teen idol, but Felix ends up playing the baby Jesus. His hardworking family runs the luncheonette at the local bus depot. The book really is a time machine that takes us back to the 60s, as Felix's mom gets to go off to a Pillsbury bake-off.
Quiet. 100 women at work competing for the nation's highest cooking honors at the famous Pillsbury Grand National Bake-Off.
You had a friend who actually had a mother who did that?
Yeah, one of my oldest friends, Bob Parzik. His mother was a Connecticut representative in 1959. Yeah, I sort of always knew this. It was kind of in the background. But then when I started this book, I said, I wonder what that was like. And Bob had amazing recall of a lot of the details. So I just sat there and took notes. Things like, you know, who knew that Ronald Reagan was the roving reporter at the Pillsbury Bake-Off?
As he is here.
Yeah.
Back then, everyone would find a television. Everyone in America would watch it.
Yeah.
Watch your mom, you know, on TV.
Right. And, of course, that's disaster as well in one of the chapters.
Oh, that's right. Mom has the runs.
Yeah.
It's live TV.
Yeah. So. She gets so nervous.
That's right. I forgot about that. Well, and Felix, this child, also makes an appearance on TV. He goes to see the Ranger Andy show, which you did.
Yes. I was a guest on Ranger Andy. It was a local TV station up in Hartford, Connecticut. And I remember remember how exciting it was. My Cub Scout troop and I trooped onto the bus and drove up to the big city of Hartford, and Ranger Andy sort of gives you your cue, you know, who's that coming down the trail? And we all clomp out. Now, the funny thing, this is an urban legend. Felix tells a dirty joke, you know, unknowingly.
How should we say this? It's something to do with a meatloaf in an oven and a woman or something.
Well, the question is, how is a woman like a stove?
Yeah.
And I think maybe we'll skip the
answer
to that.
Yeah, just fine. Keep going. And he blurts it out.
He blurts it out. Now, I never told that joke on the air, but that joke supposedly was told, and it shut down the Ranger Andy show for about a week.
Oh, you know, it's so timely. It's sort of shades of the late, great Soupy Sales.
Yes.
Who had a wonderful children's show in that same era and was always getting in trouble for things that he said.
The difference is that Soupy tried to be funny. Ranger Andy was dead serious.
Well, you do a very interesting thing. There's so many other characters. We can't go through them all. There's the stuck-up Rosalie Twersky, Felix's nemesis, you know, the smartest kid in the school, tattles on everyone, writes her own Christmas pageant. Give us one of the highlights of her Christmas pageant, by the way.
Oh, gee, well, it's titled Jesus is the Reason for the Season. And it's the sort of play that you would expect a goody-goody girl to write.
She brings posters to class for extra credit. One reads, Mortal Sinners, Burning in Hell or Headed There? Lonnie Flood is Felix's friend. He's been held back a couple of times, sort of a hood, but likable. His father's in prison. You know, it's a kind of a powerful moment there. He doesn't know his father. He thinks his father's away fishing, mm-hmm. and has sort of, let's say, a physical reaction to the Russian student that he can't control. Hence, when he plays Joseph, he's doubling he's over.
Well, you know, Felix and his peers are 10 years old, but Lonnie is about 12 and a half. And Xenia, they find out, it's very shocking that she's 13 years old.
Yeah. So that's going to happen. And then into the story, and we won't tell how, Wander's cousin, Annette Funicello. Why'd you put her in the story?
I heard somewhere around the time that I was writing it that she's afflicted with multiple sclerosis and is in fairly bad shape with it. And I kind of wanted to blow a kiss to her. You know, she had been such a sweetheart as a mousketeer, and, you know, she just always seemed to me like a very good person. I kind of wanted to write a little bit of a tribute to Annette.
Well, in fact, you have an epilogue, and it tells us what happened to a lot of these characters. Rosalie Twersky, I think, is she the one that goes with Up With People?
Yeah.
Yes. Felix's friend Lonnie relocates to Las Vegas. It turns out the girl from the Soviet Union was actually the niece of the people that Felix thought were her parents. They were defectors.
But also, in this day and age, she has hundreds of Facebook friends.
Right. And in reading this, that's again when I thought, well, is this real? Are these real people? Are you really telling us? And you're not, except when you get to Annette Funicello.
Right, yeah.
And you even tell people how they, you know, maybe couldn't help out with her cause.
Right, uh-huh. There's also a sort of an effort underway to contact her and send her either the audio or the book itself. And hopefully, if she chooses to listen to it or if she can read it, to just get a smile out of it.
Well, and that's so lovely. But it also, I don't know, this might set off alarm bells in our 20-something listeners, 30-something listeners. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is another baby boomer that can't get over the 60s. Nobody had it as great as, you know, when you had Annette Funicello. You know? And this lovely time when the most hilarity you could have would be at the Christmas pageant. And what do you say about that, about the enduring nature of a story like this, at least, you know, in your mind?
Well, for whatever reason, this story was largely fueled by YouTube. When I started to go back myself into the year 1964 and doing some research, I found that all of this old stuff was there. And it was so evocative to me that I ended up making a list of about 12 or 14 links that we actually put on the HarperCollins website. I put those not only for baby boomers to be nostalgic about, but also, you know, for younger readers who might never have heard of Annette Funicello or certainly wouldn't remember when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan for the first time.
Author Wally Lamb talking about his book Wishin' and Hopin', A Christmas Story, back in 2009. We'll have links to some of those YouTube videos he was talking about at hereandnow.org. And as to Annette Funicello, as you heard, Wally says she's suffering from MS. She's 70, lives in California. As far as we know, has never seen a copy of Wally's book. She lost the ability to walk 8 years ago, stopped speaking 3 years ago. Today, she has 24-hour nursing care. But her husband, Glenn, who's 81, also takes care of her and spoke to CTVW5 about his wife earlier this year.
She's my wife. I love her. I'll take care of her. I don't regret it by one iota. When we got married, we promised we would take care of each other. Come hell or high water, you know. And when she was diagnosed and started all this stuff about MS, I told her, I said, well, I'll take care of you, honey, and I'll do everything I can do.
I love you. Love you, baby.
I just tell her, hey, you're my baby.
You want to go to the ranch today, baby, and go for a ride, huh? We'll go out and take a look around, okay?
A big, nice look at me with those big, brown, bright eyes is telling me thank you, you know?
I'll be back and check you in a minute, all right? Okay.
Glenn Holt, with his wife Annette Funicello, who's suffering from MS, we wish them well. Now it is time to say goodbye to all our company. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service NPRI. I'm Robin Young. Merry Christmas, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.